a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times Radio. This is our first Thursday of the month, of the lovely April showers month. And as always, on the first of the month, we get to hang out with none other than Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed here on the Dr. Kevin Show. Remember, this is a live call-in show, so you can call in at 202-570-7057 with questions, with comments, with whatever. We only ask you to be respectful. If you're looking to get more of Matt than the once a month that he shows his pretty face here, so to speak, here on the Dr. Kevin Show, you can catch up to him 4 to 6 Monday through Friday at WMNH 95.3 in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, or you can go to mattconnerton.com. You can go right into his live show. You can, you know, he'll interact with your messages. He'll do all the stuff. And he's on his drive time shows 5 days a week. And I think you're up to 2 or 3 days a week where you're trying to dedicate it, instead of politics, to local musicians. What's that balance like these days?
Oh, national musicians, too. Yeah, well, something that we've done is, so we've always done, my show's always been a mix of not just politics, but comedy and art and music. And we've always had musicians, but something that we kind of started to change, you know, the ingredients are the same, but we've played with the mixture a bit. So getting into 2023, we decided instead of having musicians on, you know, 2 or 3 times a month, let's do 2 or 3 times a week. And so that's what it's been for a few months now, and it's great. I think it's good for me, you know, partly for selfish reasons. I think it's good for my mental health. As much as I love politics and I am a political junkie, it's nice to, you know, the music is kind of a palate cleanser in a way. So sometimes what we'll do is, you know, the first hour will be politics, and then the second hour we might have a live band come in and play, something like that. In fact, that's what we're doing tomorrow. So, and also the feedback that I've gotten is incredible. Listeners, the station, and that's the most important thing is, you know, keeping the management here at the station happy. Everybody really likes it. And, you know, so same format, but we've just played with the, like I said, we've played with the mixture a little bit.
Well, and you know, you've brought up something very important, which is you have to be careful to not let national and world events affect your mental health. You know,
yeah.
And I think it affects a lot of people's mental health. And, you know, you can only watch so much of the crazies without becoming crazy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of crazies in politics these days.
Yeah.
So, you know, the circus makes money by being a circus.
Mm-hmm.
That's politics.
Yes.
And if you have enough clowns breaking enough plates and riding around with enough ludicrous, absurd commentary, you find that they get more donations rolling in, or at least one subsection of them do. You know, the crazier the what they say, the more that they, you know, the more that they can grift out of these poor, pathetic people that somehow just can't accept the fact that it's 2023. America's a melting pot. I know it's a new idea. But, you know, like everybody should actually, in America, be able to be who they are in America, not what you want them to be.
Right.
Oh my, radical thinking, radical thinking. I'm such a radical. But yeah, you have to be very careful of your mental health, because this will suck the life right out of you. So good choice. Good for you.
Yeah, it's been really good. Jenny's been doing the booking, and she's been doing a phenomenal job with it. And, you know, we have musicians from the area come in and play live, but we also interview people from all over the country, and they call in or Skype in, and we feature their music. And it's been great. So I'm loving it. And it's an adjustment that I wish we had made sooner, but I'm really happy with it. Very happy with how the show's sounding lately.
Yeah, and sometimes you get to cross over politics and music, you know.
There was
that recent thing that happened where a school made them change the lyrics to a Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus song because it had the word Rainbow Land in it, and they said that was too divisive.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah. They were doing a Dolly Parton song, and it was too divisive.
Wow.
How low can you go?
Well, she is she is a liberal.
because she said Rainbow Land.
Yeah.
That's encouraging those kind of people.
That's right.
I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, because if you start talking about rainbows, next thing you know, all of Americans' children will turn gay.
Yeah. This school district or whatever even talked about banning Kermit the Frog's Rainbow Connection.
Wow. It actually doesn't surprise me. I mean, we are devolving in some ways. We're definitely going backward in some ways.
Now, I can't remember what school district it was. You may know. But there was this bunch of students that, through social media, got enough people to sign a petition where they actually got three MAGA Christian Nationalist school board members thrown off the school board, and it was all done by the students.
Wow. No, I didn't know about that. That's a cool story.
Yep. I don't remember where it was. It was one of those pretend states between New York and California.
Flyover country, yes.
Yeah, flyover country. But yeah. Three students organized the whole thing. Got the petitions, did a bunch of work on social media, went around to the neighborhood, and got three of them called off the school board as being inappropriate.
Wow, good for them.
Yeah. You know? So, I mean, I want people to have hope. There's still things you can do, and there's still changes you can make, no matter how dark the times look.
Right.
So, Matt, tell us what, you know, and the other thing about your show that I would have worried about is when it was in the thick of it, did you ever feel like when it was getting too politically heavy for 10 hours a week that sometimes it was just a repetition of things being said?
No, I've never felt that way because there's always so much going on. Well, I suppose, you know, there's certain issues that might come up a lot, but actually, it's funny, now that you mention it, today I stayed away from the, I didn't talk about Trump's indictment at all today, but that wasn't so much a conscious decision. There were just other things that I thought were interesting, and I had some negative things to do about Biden and the Biden administration, too, because I do try to present some balance, even though, obviously, you know, political talk radio is opinion-driven, and I don't hide my politics, just like, you know, conservative hosts don't hide their politics, and I'm certainly not a conservative, obviously, but I do try to beat up on everybody, not equally, because I don't think there's as much to beat up on Democrats about as there are about to beat up on Republicans about, but I do try to take those opportunities where I can. If, you know, there was some stuff today where I really was like, oh, I can beat up Biden about this. And I do take those opportunities just to kind of remind people that, you know, I am, and I do take everyone to task. And when I say I'm an independent, I mean it. Do I lean more left than right? Absolutely. But, you know, but that doesn't mean I'm just, you know, I'm not doing a show on MSNBC here. You know, I'll beat up on the Dems too. And, and I know some people don't get it. Like there's this one listener I have who sent me an email, just yesterday, actually, complaining about how he turned on my show and he heard how gleeful I was about the Trump indictment, and it made him turn my show right back off because he was really for that. And it's someone I know personally who I consider a friend, so I wrote back to him and I said, well, you weren't listening very carefully because I was not gleeful. I said, I've approached this from a very measured standpoint, and I even went out of my way multiple times to say that, you know, I don't think this is anything to celebrate necessarily or be excited about. To me, it's kind of this is a somber occasion for the country. That doesn't mean I oppose the indictment at all. I do not oppose it. I think everyone should be held accountable for their crimes, and no one is above the law. But I wasn't gleeful about it. But, you know, people hear what they want to hear, and this guy's so MAGA that because I'm not a Trump supporter, all he hears when I talk is praising Biden and just hating on Trump. But yeah, you know, so I took today's just to kind of, in case he was listening today, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to remind him that no, I beat up on Biden too. And I did actually.
Well, there's a couple of points here. There is a difference between saying, I think this person is a better choice, Biden versus Trump. I think this is a better choice for the country. In no way do I say, I think it's the best choice.
Right.
And there's a big difference between better and best. When you tell me, you know, I can either get a elbow in the ribs or a sharp poke in the eye, well, if I have a choice and those are the only two choices, I'll take the sharp elbow in the ribs other than a poke in an eye because I don't want to lose my eye. So,
yeah.
You know, I was a mixed Biden fan. Actually, I get to be more of a Biden fan after he got in office, but wasn't my first choice.
Right.
Wouldn't necessarily be my first choice in the next 4 years. But
right.
If those are the options, if it's him and Trump again, I'm certainly not voting for Cheeto Man.
Right, right, of course.
So,
yeah.
As you're sharing this week on what is going on, or what's up, or what you would like to point out, I would love to hear some of what you have to say about Biden. I do want to talk about the indictment a little bit, but I'd like to start by talking about, I don't know whether you saw it, it kind of popped up just as you were on the end of your show. Now they're trying to say that the judge in Manhattan should be disqualified because he donated $35 to President Biden's campaign.
No, I did not. I did not see that. But $35. Wow, he practically owns them.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. No.
So somehow that makes him unsuitable to orchestrate the Trump trial. At what point, and I don't know how much you've looked into this, but I'm going to ask you a direct question, because there are some out there. Will the judge snap down and threaten Trump with contempt of court if him and his family keep up trying to incite violence? Because the judge and his family in the last 24 hours have gotten threats on their life and all sorts of stuff because of what Trump and his family are saying out there.
Yeah, I think at some point the judge will issue a gag order. He's going to have to. He should have done it already, because Trump is predictable, and we knew that would happen. And Trump's going to continue to do it. It raises money. So the judge should probably do that pretty quick.
If he does that and Trump blows past the gag order, you think he'll put him in jail? Because he can.
I would hope so.
That would be nobody's above the law right there.
Yep, exactly. That'd
be
fun to see.
If the first picture of Trump behind bars is because he couldn't keep his mouth shut after the judge warned him.
Right.
Okay. What do you think about the indictment? Because we're on there, and then I can move into what other were the interesting topics or things going on that you want to share with my listeners this month.
Well, the indictment, like I said, I wasn't, you know, when the news first broke, what was it, Friday when the news broke? It happened right after I had finished my show. And it's funny because a listener messaged me and said, how mad are you that the news broke after you were done, right after you were off the air? And I responded to her and I said, well, actually relieved in a sense because I had a musical guest here and it would have been awkward. I would have had to have stopped and at least acknowledged the news just quickly and then gotten back to the guest. I said, but that would have been a little awkward. So in one sense, I'm relieved. But I kind of felt a little bit nauseous, to be honest with you. Again, not because I oppose the indictment. I do not oppose it. I think no one is above the law, and I'm all about accountability. So, but to me, it's not anything to celebrate or crow about. I don't judge anyone else who does. You know, I'm not trying to admonish anybody who does. A lot of people are, and that's fine. But to me, it feels somber. It's a somber moment for the country. To have to go through this. I think we do have to go through this. I think it's necessary. But it is a somber moment. And but it's also, I'm troubled that, you know, Trump has managed to get himself into a position where whatever bad things happen to him legally, it only helps him. It only makes him stronger. He raised, when he initially posted on the ironically named Truth Social that he expected to be arrested on a Tuesday. He raised $1.5 million within, I think, a couple of days after posting that. And of course, the day came and went and the arrest didn't occur. But he raised a lot of money very quickly. And I think the last number that I saw was over $7 million since the news of the indictment leaked out, and I'm sure that number is much higher now. So because he has this cult, the MAGA base, that third of the party that is with him no matter what, and they view him as sort of a god emperor, you know, he's able to raise massive amounts of cash. And unfortunately, I think the more legal trouble that he's in, it actually helps him. I believed all along he is going to be the nominee. That's why I refer to him on my show as the presumptive Republican nominee. And I believe that now more than ever. I think what's happening to him now seals the deal, because that MAGA base, he's very good at communicating to them and marketing all the bad things that happened to him legally as, look, they're not after me. They're after us. They're after you, too. They're after all of us. And that's an effective marketing message, and people fall for that. And it works. It's effective. And so the indictment helps him. If he's convicted, that will help him even more. It all helps him. And that part is disappointing to see, but it's predictable. So, I don't believe that he's even upset. I think he's glad that this is happening because it's all a grift. He's the billionaire the alleged billionaire who for some reason needs the people who vote for him, his supporters, to send him lots and lots of money to the billionaire. And they don't, and they're not smart enough to catch on what's really up here. You know, I don't believe he's really a billionaire, and this is all a grift, and they don't get it. So it virtually assures he will be the nominee, but the good news is it also virtually assures that he will not be elected, because while this all will help him to win the nomination, I do not believe it will help him to win the election. I cannot imagine that independents and more moderate suburban Republicans who already abandoned him in 2020, I cannot imagine that they're looking at all of this and going, yeah, he's our guy. We'll support him. So I think it really hurts him in the general, but it will help him to win the nomination and consolidate support.
Well, and as far, I mean, he has three or four other potential indictments floating over his head right now.
Yes.
And this by far is not the most serious one.
Right.
So I guess at this point it may be a good thing that, I mean, at this point, I'd rather see him running for president than DeSantis.
Yeah.
Because DeSantis might pull enough moderate votes, at least in his direction. And you and I have talked about it. I think in some ways he's more dangerous than Trump.
Yeah, I do too. Some of the culture war stuff that DeSantis loves, I don't think Trump necessarily has that much of an appetite for. I mean, he'll go along with it, but I don't think Trump himself is particularly out to get gay people or trans people or anything like that. But he'll go along with it because that's where the party is going, clearly.
There was a lot of hullabubub, a lot of lawsuits, or a lot of investigating for crimes about DeSantis spending Floridian money to ship Texas immigrants to Martha's Vineyard, I think it was. Yeah. Do you think that's all just completely gone away, or will that flare up at some point? And it's just the fact that it's caught in the legal clog wheel.
I think people have probably forgotten about it, but that's something that'll help him win the nomination if he has any chance of winning the nomination, which I don't believe he does, because I believe it's going to be Trump. But if for some reason Trump, if anything does happen to Trump, I think that's an example of something that, again, I think it would help DeSantis to win the nomination. Because the base of the party loves that kind of thing, but it won't help him in the general election. I don't know how much it'll hurt him, but it certainly won't help him. That probably would hurt him, actually, because he just comes across as such a scumbag for doing that, you know?
Well, and also, if he broke laws and he gets charged with things, I don't know, that could help him too with the Trump base. They seem to like that, you know, idea of somehow it's noble that our leaders are breaking laws.
Well, they like that with Trump. I don't know that translates to anybody else, though. Trump may be completely unique in that way. Because like I said, Trump plays it like, oh, they're not just out to get me. They're out to get all of us, and that includes you. I don't know if DeSantis can play that same card. Trump plays it masterfully. He's hypnotized all these people, you know, but we're talking about people who are used to turning on their televisions on a Sunday morning and seeing a con man in a $10,000 suit saying, send me money. They're conditioned for this. They were preconditioned for Trump, but I don't know if DeSantis can pull that off just because Trump can. Trump may be completely unique in that way.
Well, we can only hope so, because The last thing we need is another grifting cult leader. So my next question for you is, so obviously Trump has been taking DeSantis down, been throwing him on the mat in a few ways lately. Mm-hmm. He threw him on the mat when he said that he got his ass kicked by Mickey Mouse. And then there was this whole insurance thing in the state of Florida. Did you see that?
That sounds familiar, but I'm not sure. I don't remember details about it.
Well, Trump went after that DeSantis was the puppet of the insurance industry who were being horrible to the people of Florida with their outrageous home insurance rates and how few pennies they paid on the dollar for Hurricane Ian, and that basically that was DeSantis' fault because he allowed it because he's owned by the insurance industry in Florida.
Oh, okay.
And within a couple of days, Republicans showed up with a bill going after the insurance industry of Florida mercilessly. And so you know it hit a direct hit for DeSantis because this is probably going to drive the majority of insurance companies that insure property and hurricane damage and stuff like that out of Florida if this bill passes.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Go ahead. You know what I'm talking about now?
No, actually, no. I'm not familiar with this story. I'll have to look at this more closely. That's interesting. No, I wasn't aware of this.
Yeah, so the interesting thing is, this is the leverage Trump has. And I know we're going to be coming up on break in a minute. And when we come back, we're going to switch the topic from Trump because I think I've had as much nausea as I can stand. He is going to nitpick any and every decision or thing that happens in Florida from now until the day that DeSantis is sitting on the table, sitting on the floor, crying like a baby, promising he will never try to challenge Trump. And
right.
Because he's the governor of Florida, Trump has a bunch of stuff he can go after, and it's new stuff showing up every day. If it wasn't for the fact that DeSantis, I'd almost feel bad for the guy. But Trump, if DeSantis goes after Trump, he can't, because he'll never get the Trump supporters if for some
right.
reason Trump stumbles. So, I'm sorry. I do take great glee in watching Trump pummel DeSantis in this way. Thoughts?
Yeah, I do too. Tiny D. That's my favorite nickname for him. Of the nicknames Trump has for DeSantis, I like Tiny D.
Ah. Okay. We'll be right back here on the Dr. Kevin Show to find out the crimes of the Biden administration, as brought to you by Mac Honerson.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. I'm on today, as I always am on the first Thursday of the month, with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. Whether you love music or politics, and if you love them both, then you want to tune in 4 to 6, Monday through Friday, at Matt Connerton Unleashed at 95.3 WMNH in Manchester, New Hampshire. Or go to mattconnerton.com, and you can catch it live on the internet, and you can interact, and you can hang out with some great music, and you can have fun with some great political commentary. And then sometimes you have to listen to Matt talk too. So, breaking news, Matt. The U.S. war plans, classified documents on what we were thinking about doing in the with the Ukraine and blah, 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 have ended up online and has appeared on Twitter and Telegram, and which has more than 500 million users, widely available in Russia. These were top secret military plans of some of what we were planning, how we were planning to help Ukraine in the war. What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what to think.
We all do know that Elon is a big fan of Putin. I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, it could be. Yeah, I don't know. That's surprising. The news to hear. That's, wow. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that.
They did say it was March 1st plans, so they're 5 weeks old, and some things would have already changed. And again, that they did verify that absolutely some of what was in there had been altered before it was released on the Russian platform. But the fact that it was released on Twitter and this Russian platform doesn't look good. Just saying.
Right.
For lots of people.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yep.
I got it
as breaking news. Like, it just came out at 6:23. I got it when we were on break, because I always check.
Yeah.
So
this just happened.
Just happened. Just hit my news feed. Because I subscribe to the New York Times, and I got a breaking news thing on my watch, and as soon as we went to break, I checked it.
Yeah.
So, any thoughts on the fact that Jim Jordan has now subpoenaed the assistant district attorney that left Manhattan to come testify in front of Congress to try to make a case that Alan Bragg is politically motivating the Trump thing?
Yeah, I assume that they will just ignore any kind of subpoenas like that, because I don't think Congress has the authority to subpoena a local DA like that, or maybe they do, but I don't know. I mean, during the Trump administration, we kind of learned that if Congress subpoenas you and you don't feel like complying, you don't really have to show up.
Yeah, because Jim Jordan... I saw a TikTok or something about some, I can't remember which Democrat, was taking Jim Jordan to town about the fact that since his subpoena is 364 days old, that he should set a good example and actually fulfill it before he complains about anybody else not fulfilling the ones he's issuing.
That's a great point. Quite valid.
Yeah. So, yeah, the guy was told to ignore it by the state of New York, and then Jordan made noises about, you know, like pushing this to be a legal issue, which, of course, there's no way the Department of Justice under Biden is going to go after an interference with the sovereign state of New York, and got a big clap back from the Attorney General of New York about it, about the crossing of the boundaries. But, like, really? Like, what are these idiots thinking? So, before we run out of time, let's hear all the dark and horrible things the Biden administration is doing. Matt, did I lose you again? Matt, are you there? And I have just got disconnected. He dropped again. Okay, well, I'm going to keep talking, and hopefully he'll call back in. So we're waiting for Matt to come back. One of the other things I'd like to point out is this recent thing coming out in ProPublica about one of our Supreme Court justices accepting hundreds of thousands of valuable trips and treatments by private citizens that get then single access to him. Things that if he had to pay for, some would have been in exchange, would have in excess of $500,000.
Okay.
Matt, you back?
Yes, I'm here. I don't know what happened. I couldn't hear you. I couldn't hear anything.
Okay. So I was just talking, I just was bringing up the whole Supreme Court Justice Thomas ProPublica thing about how he's accepted hundreds of thousands of dollars of value in gifts from a private citizen who has had access to him, who is also a person that donated a huge amount of money to the organization Ginny Thomas was working, and he sees no conflict in any of that. And the question is there any accountability? Have you run across the story? Because it's pretty recent, too.
Yeah, that broke today, and I don't believe that there is any, I don't think there's any kind of rules when it's the Supreme Court that they have to, I don't think legally, let me take that back. I think there is, actually. I don't know if it's a rule or an actual law, but yes, I think they are supposed to disclose gifts that they receive. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think the initial reporting that I saw said there was no legal accountability, but there might be. I'm not particularly surprised. I'm very cynical, though, in this sense. I don't think of the Supreme Court the way I guess we're supposed to think of it, in terms of it being above politics. I've never thought of it that way. I know that a lot of people stopped thinking of it that way when Roe v. Wade was overturned, and I was kind of looking at all those people and going, do you remember Bush v. Gore in 2000? You know, of course the Supreme Court's political. The process of appointing justices is extraordinarily political. So I don't hold the Supreme Court in some other, higher regard above politics. I never have. So none of this is surprising to me.
So from what I read, yes, there is a law that got broken because it was a law that was passed that they at very least have to report it. That it's a law. From if exactly, because Thomas really needs to either resign or he needs to be impeached. But it's supposed to be, I believe, don't quote me, anything that has a value of more than $10,000, because it's a higher one than presidents or Congress does, but he did break the law because he did not report. I mean, one of the trips he took, if he had had to pay for it, would have cost him in excess of $500,000. This is not
wow.
some change.
Yeah.
So,
he's not going to resign because they're not going to want to give Biden an opportunity to appoint a Supreme Court justice. And, of course, the Republicans would obstruct that anyway and say, well, you know, eventually there's going to be an election, so we can't let him have an appointee.
Well, at this point, they don't have enough in the Senate to stop it, I don't believe.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the questions for me is, I mean, and I'm probably just fantasizing because we all know how I like to do that, that in 2024, if MAGA has kicked off enough people and there's enough turnover and they end up controlling, the Dems end up winning the presidency and controlling the House and the Senate, will they go after this? Will they go after tightening laws on Supreme Court justices, and will they go after the fact he broke the law? The law says you have to report it. He broke it like 3 years, 4 years, 5 years in a row. He broke the law.
Yeah.
He hid this. Where is the accountability? And, you know, certainly, and I don't know how much the House of Reps are involved if you have to go after the Supreme Court, or if it's just Senate. Do you have any idea?
I don't know, because I don't think it's ever really been tried. I have no idea, to be honest with you.
I think we talked once that there's only been one Supreme Court justice who has ever actually been impeached, but there was one. And I don't think they impeached him, but I'm trying to remember. It was around the Civil War. Which is a great analogy to where we are now with the fact of the minority trying to rig everything that they are the justifiable people to rule, which is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts about what went on in Wisconsin?
Oh, with the trying to expel those reps? Is that in Wisconsin?
That's Tennessee.
Oh, that's Tennessee. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm getting my my flyover states mixed up.
I could understand Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Tennessee's a little bit stretched for me, but Matt, I feel for you. No,
yeah.
The Supreme Court just elected their new justice who will be in there for 10 years, which brings the court to the liberals.
Yeah.
And she won by 10 points, which is unheard of in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that is unusual.
And now all of the gerrymandering districts that get challenged will get pushed up to this Supreme Court to decide what is fair stuff.
Oh.
The abortion rule is going to get kicked up. Because Wisconsin, when they took a supermajority in the sweep several years ago, they gerrymandered everything that it's literally impossible for a Democratic majority.
Mm-hmm.
I've been reading up on this some.
Yeah.
And of course, as long as you had a conservative majority in the Supreme Court, nobody was challenging it up to a Supreme Court level.
Right.
But all that just changed.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Just thought it was worth noting.
Did the losing candidate concede? Do you know?
The losing candidate said, I wouldn't mind conceding to a worthy opponent, but since I didn't have one.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Yeah, that's the new style, I guess.
Yeah, you know, bitter is better, I guess.
I guess, yes.
So you wanted to share some complaints you had of some of the stuff going on the Democratic side, and I, like you, was an independent, and right now I'm squarely leaning much more Democrat until the MAGAs can all be gathered up and sent to the Kremlin, where they'll live happily ever after, or over in Viktor Orlov's Christian nationalism. I mean, hey, if you want a Christian, if you want a country that's Christian nationalist, there's one right over there in Europe. I'm sure we can raise enough money to buy you all one-way tickets. Good. This country was never created to be a Christian nationalist country.
Yeah. Well, I know we're short on time, but I was citing today on my show, I was talking about there's a new poll, a CNN poll that shows that 67% of Democrats, I forget what the cumulative number was, but 67% of Democrats don't think that Biden has the sharpness or the fitness to be mentally to run for another term, and they don't want him to run. And I've been saying on my show that I think he's selfish to want to go for another term. And I think that if whoever is on the other side is if it's not Trump, if it's somebody much younger, like say a Ron DeSantis, that's going to make Biden seem even that much older. And I just, I think Biden should step aside. I just think it's selfish for him to want to stick around. I think he should step aside and I don't mean resign, but just, you know, let somebody younger have a shot at the nomination, you know, on both sides. I think these old men got to ride off into the sunset, you know? I mean, I think my prediction is we're going to have a rematch of 2020, God help us. But, let's get some younger energy in there. And, then this Pentagon, you know, John Kirby was doing the briefing today, this after action report about the Afghanistan withdrawal. And it's like, you know, none of this looks good for the administration. And so, I had some complaints today. But I think Biden is selfish, and I think he should let somebody else have a crack at it for 2024.
Any last-minute thought of who you'd like to see run?
I have no idea. I know who you'd like to see run.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah. Unfortunately, it's not Camilla.
Yeah.
So, Kamala Harris. Anyways.
Kamala. Yep.
Kamala. I'll talk to you in a month.
All right, Dr. Kevin. Thank you.
Take care.